I will not actually be in Revelation today, but it will be definitely be things about what is to come. Part of my job is to be a watchman and to prepare the flock for what is to come. And so today we're going to be talking about the signs. Signs specifically that Jesus is coming soon. They are not encompassing of all. But it's a sobering time for us. It's an exciting time for the believer as we look to what is to come ahead. But it's also tough as we see birth pangs increase over the earth. That opening text we'll be in is 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-6. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak through my lips. If there's a sense of callousness, Lord, if there is resistance, I ask, Lord, that you would tear down that wall like the walls of Jericho. We know that Scripture is very clear that there are many who hear, but they don't receive the word. They don't receive the seed on good soil. And so it's snatched away. Or when the time comes, it withers away. I'm asking that you would open the ears to hear and open eyes to see how close we are for your return, Lord. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we just said goodbye to 2020, did we not? I would say that most of the world looked forward to New Year's as they very, very much wanted to say goodbye to a tumultuous 2020. And I would say that there are many who looked upon New Year's thinking that because the digits would now say 2021, that all that has occurred in 2020 would just magically, poof, go away. It's a new year. No more virus, no more economic woes, peace on earth, let's get back to normal. I've had a lot of comments to me about that, even friends who don't know the Lord, who wrote us and just can't wait to get back to normal. And the reality is that thinking is so far off base, folks. 2020 has certainly set the stage for many prophetic signs that have converged all at one point. Like the chess pieces on a board, they were being set, and now it seems to be moving very quickly along to checkmate. That's going to culminate to a new world order to which the Antichrist will be crowned, ushering in of the 7-year tribulation, the rapture of the church, the bride of Christ. Jesus, specifically in parables, talked about this. In Matthew 25:13, we know the parable of the virgin. He said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For Jesus is coming like a thief in the night." A thief in the night. As many will not be prepared for that moment. Though we don't know the day or the hour, folks, we as believers would know the season in his return, and that is affirmed in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. And it says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman." That parallels to Matthew 24, which Jesus said, these are like the birth pangs. "And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, you beloved, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief." See, the thief comes and overtakes those who don't know what's coming. "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, See, if you're asleep, the thief's going to come. He's going to take you by surprise. But let us watch and be sober. That's what we're called to do. Let us watch and be sober. Sober about the days in which we live. Excited of what's to come. As you said, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because the unbelieving world, the lost, will be taken by complete surprise when this day happens. But we as believers who know Him personally, we know Him and His Word. We are not in darkness that day will overtake us. We will know the signs of His coming, so we must be watchful. We know God is going to pour out His wrath on a fallen world. God will judge and He will wage war shortly. We spent over a year going through this chapter by chapter in the book of Revelation, and it is a sobering thought to know what is going to be going here on the earth. Just as it was in the days of Noah, God gave an extended period of grace. Noah preached repentance for 120 years till the door was shut. Right, Diane? Like we talked about last week. See, 2 Peter 3:9 says, God does not wish that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. There are those who are on the verge, you know? And you could be the one to bring them into the fold. For His glory, not for yours, for His. We know by Scripture not all will come to faith in Christ. And one day the last soul will be saved, and God will tell His Son to go get your bride. I watched a small video yesterday while I was working out, about 11 minutes long, from the YouTube channel Lion of Judah. And it was just talking about the moment where a man will be laying in his bed next to his wife and lean over, and suddenly there's just a pile of clothes there. And he looks, and he can't figure out what's going on. He goes and looks under the pillow, and her cell phone's there. And he goes out, and he looks into the garage. The cars are still in the garage spot. He goes to peek on his kids. His kids are not in the bed, just clothes. He's overwhelmed and overtaken. He opens the door and he walks out, and there's clamor all around. Snow's falling, dogs are barking, car alarms are going off, and suddenly it hits him. I've been left behind. What I was told about, my wife told me and warned me over and over again, and I just brushed it off, scoffing. That story will be paramount for those who are left behind. Those that will be driving, and suddenly cars will be left there on the middle of the street. A sobering moment. You know, before God has ushered judgment, we see in the Bible where He has given warning after warning. Noah, Abraham, right? Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses to Egypt. Jonah to Nineveh. Actually preached, and there was repentance and there was a revival. To Jesus Himself, He gave us warnings through His Word. Matthew 24, 25, Luke 21, Revelation, etc. Warnings only last so long, and then it's sudden and swift destruction that comes. So let's take a look at some of the signs of His return, because God is alerting believers that Jesus is going to return soon. The signs of the seasons are here. We are witnessing them. We are seeing prophecy lift off the pages of the Bible and converge from all intersections. Again, exciting yet sobering times. Matthew 24:33 in the New American Standard Bible says, "So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that He is here, right at the door." Some of you heard some of these signs. I've expounded upon them before. The biggest sign today, sign number one, is Israel. the most important sign of our time. Luke 21:24 says, "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Israel was dispersed primarily, and we can look back to Jesus prophesying of the destruction of the temple, which occurred in 70 AD. Yet Scripture is clear, without Israel being a nation, there would not be the return of Christ. Matthew 24:32-34 says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." Israel has been referenced as the fig tree. For Israel to bloom, it would have to be a nation again. That occurred, folks, on May 14th, 1948. Israel became a nation. Up to that point, they were scattered all over the world. Yet, though scattered, they never conformed to where they were. They always kept their identity as a Jew. And that's important because that would allow them to want to come back to a place. Isaiah 11:11-12 says, "It shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. From Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea, he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." And those who are claiming to, I forget the Jewish word that they're allowed to claim, but they can come back for citizenship to Israel. And that number has dramatically increased in the last year with coronavirus. There are many here in America who have claimed. It's not like a monumental number, but I want to say just in 1 year alone, that number went from 400 to 1,000 just this past year of American Jews who went back to the homeland. There's 10 million Jews in Israel today. Israel, they're gathering together right now in unbelief, okay? In unbelief. They don't believe in Messiah Jesus. There are some. But one day they will look on him who they pierced and they will realize that Jesus was here before. Right. See, right now they're looking for a Messiah to come. They're looking for someone to set things in order, and they will be deceived. Isaiah 66:7-8, "Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children." And that was so cool, that scripture. It talks about not only Christ, but it talks about in one day, Israel became a nation, that May 14th. And then on June 7th, 1967, during the Six-Day War, the Jews occupied Jerusalem. Zechariah 8:4-8 says, "The Lord of hosts, old men and women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with a staff in his hand because of the great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of his people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God." He does it now, but he's going to do it again when the new Jerusalem, and he tabernacles with us again. Awesome. But again, Israel would have to be a nation and occupy Jerusalem, because there's going to be a temple built there, folks. As a nation, Israel has become a very large focus of world politics. Think about all the different peace plans that have come out over the years, and then all of a sudden this new guy comes along, Donald J. Trump, and all the promises of prior presidents to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, poof, went gone, and all of a sudden Donald Trump says on May 14th, 2018, declare Jerusalem the capital of Israel. He also released the peace plan this year. And since releasing that peace plan, it has not been pleasant. Zechariah 12, 2-3, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness, and to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day, I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it." The United Nations constantly passes resolution after resolution to condemn Israel. "And it surely has become a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding countries. Countries determined to annihilate the Jews off the face of the map. Yet this little country, no bigger than New Jersey, is still strong." That is the mighty hand of God, folks. Last year, Trump recognized the Golan Heights as sovereign Israel territory. And the key takeaway is Israel is the watch point of God's prophetic calendar. He has a schedule. God has a schedule. He has appointed times for events to happen. He has lovingly given us a look at that schedule so that we won't be caught off guard when the events take place. He has appointed Israel as his prophetic timepiece. And if you want to know what time it is on God's schedule, all you have to do is look at what's happening there. Find out how God used the nation of Israel as a sign to show the world that his return is near. Many have said Israel is God's hour hand, Jerusalem is the minute hand, and the Temple Mount is the second hand on God's timepiece. Months back, we spent an entire Sunday going through all the preparations that are in place right now for the third temple to be built, including red heifers, folks, which is something they need to do. They need the ashes of a pure red heifer to consecrate the new temple. And we know that they can at a speedily rate have that temple built. The altar is already there. It's dissembled. It can be put together. It's actually the Temple Institute has it there. They have already been practicing sacrifices. The Levitical priests are in order. There is a high priest already in place. Which leads me to point number two. The covenant with many. In 2020, I think we have witnessed the precursor of the covenant with many. Daniel 9:27 says, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate." That's talking about the Antichrist confirming a covenant. On September 15th, 2020, the Abrahamic Accord peace treaty with the UAE and Bahrain was signed. This is the first Arab-Israeli peace deal since 1994. Egypt and Jordan, who already had existing peace treaties with Israel, were joined by the UAE and Bahrain. Next was Sudan, then Morocco, who have also signed up. Jared Kushner has revealed that there could be as many as 20 Muslim nations to become part of the Abraham Accord. That means there's been a lot of work going on. We know that Saudi Arabia has not signed on the deal, but they have allowed Israel to fly over their country, which was something they could not do prior. They're that close. And it appears that the Trump administration may be coming to a close. I know for some of you, it's okay. We pray. Yeah, you believe. God can do anything. It's whoever he decides to appoint. But wouldn't it make sense for someone to come on the scene to confirm a covenant? Confirm in Hebrew is gabar or gabir, which means to exceed, to make stronger, or to make greater. So things have to be in place to expand upon it, to make it better. It's not creating the covenant. It's taking something that was there and making it better, making it greater. Do you understand that? And that's why I said I think we've seen the precursor here. I'm not saying that the Abrahamic Accord is the covenant, okay? Because that would make Donald Trump the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. I am saying that it is the stage is being set for it. Why would Israel agree to these deals? Well, as a result, they have a greater global status, economic partners and contracts and incentives as new trade deals open. They're going to be flourishing for the first part of the time. Peace and safety, then sudden swift destruction. Part of the move is to normalize is the Gulf states in that region realized the very large threat of Iran and Turkey both. And they know that Israel is the one with might to stand against the tyranny of those countries, particularly if Biden is president and jumps back into the nuke deal with Iran. Does anyone else know what's happening in Israel right now? The government was just dissolved. They are headed for a fourth round of elections in 2 years. I could not even imagine going through another election. My gosh. Woo. That happens in March, folks. The time is ripe for someone to come on the scene to confirm the covenant. Number three, the destruction of Damascus. Isaiah 17:1, the burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. As tensions continue to escalate in Syria, as Iran, it's all about them. They move their proxies in Syria. They have proxies, their militias that are moving in place, and Israel continues to bomb the Iranian installations. And if Biden goes into the new treaty with Iran, Israel will certainly have to take preemptive action. The time for wait and see will be no more. And it could be sudden and swift. And I know some other pastors who believe that when that happens, we go up and they come down. So time will tell, right? Point number four, nature. Matthew 24:7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Luke 21:11, then he said to him, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs in heaven. Also referenced in Mark 13:8, famine with the rain and flooding. Has anyone noticed the cost in the increased cost of food? We in America had bumper crops a few years before, which we have stored, but worldwide we are starting to see food become more scarce as the population increases, economic woes come in place, and this past year there are more people going to food banks to get food because of the economic woes here. There are people starving in this country. There are families hurting because they cannot get aid. Pestilences, which could be plagues or pests. We are hearing more and more of different types of mosquito-borne illnesses, flesh-eating diseases, just from swimming in the ocean or a lake. The swine flu, which is like the Ebola, it's like Ebola for pigs in China, which has decimated the pig populations. The bird population has also significantly declined. Anybody know anything about locusts? Those locust swarms are decimating crops throughout Africa, the Middle East, and are now in Asia. Need I say COVID-19 and now a mutated version of COVID-19. Great signs from heaven. There will be great earthquakes, intensity increasing. There's a lot of activity. You can look at your phone and actually see the earthquake activity and volcanoes. I think of the destruction of tornadoes, the superstorms, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, wildfires. Like half of Australia was burned this year, and a lot of California. Droughts, flooding, volcanoes, the world tells you it's global warming. No, it's not. It's climate change. I heard that Bill Gates wants to shoot particles into the air to dim the sun. That's something he just passed. It's called the sun... Sunbella, about something. He wants to shoot particles to reflect the sun, to dim the sun, so that it cools the planet. So he's really big on vaccines, guys, and he wants to also dim the sun. He needs to focus on computers. Point number five, society's decline, okay? Man's striving to create a utopia is actually causing society to crumble before our very eyes. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. This is rampant in our society today. We are seeing an increase in lawlessness, violence, paganism, mysticism is rising. The family model is no longer celebrated. In its place, the LGBTQ agenda, abortion rights. People have made money, materialism, their God, to do whatever makes them happy. Lovers of pleasure rather than God, we see Romans 1 living out before our very eyes. If you don't know what Romans 1 is, take time to read it. There is no self-control. We saw the rioting, and it just so happens that it's really cold outside, so we don't see a lot of that occurring right now. We'll see what happens in a few days when a million people show up in D.C. to protest the election. Look at some of the laws that were passed for abortions this year. You're talking about, like, just before birth and during the birth, they wanted to talk about, you know, taking a baby's life, keep it comfortable while they determine what happens. It's disgusting. It's just, it's topsy-turvy. How does a party who says we believe in the science, and then they say, well, that's just fetal tissue. That's not a person in a womb. Or that a man's a woman can say he's a man. How is that science? That you can't say you're a party science and then completely go there. But the point is Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I saw a video the other day of large crowds celebrating. They were crying and hugging in such happiness as Argentina passed a law, the first law legalizing abortion. It was a party in the streets. Like, it was the best thing. Like they won the lottery. They were in jubilee over this. How quickly our freedoms have evaporated in this country. Many, many places are fighting just to keep their doors open for worship right now. How about freedom of speech? The land of the free. Depends on what your speech is. You can't look at this stuff, people, and say this is normal, is my point. The power imposed by some of these governors are so draconian. They are so draconian. And I don't see them, like, letting up anytime soon. They just keep doubling down. Lawlessness does increase. Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. It shall be as the days of Noah. Matthew 24:37 through 29. But as the days of Noah were, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. They will be going out around like life as normal. As we see the separation of society and we go, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And maybe that's what God's doing. He's allowing us to separate ourselves from this world, which he has told us to do all along. Number six, apostasy increasing in the church. 2 Timothy 4, 3-5, for the time will come, and we are here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Apostasy will lead to a falling away, and when the Lord shakes the foundations of the things, heaven and earth, there will be some who cannot stand. They will fall away, just as noted in Mark 4, either for the cares of the world or as a result of persecution. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-3, now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by the word or by the letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you. Deception. By any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sins reveal the son of perdition. Think about what we've learned about the seven churches of Asia. That was less than 100 years from Christ's presence on the earth. Those letters were written. And we see the same evidence of those churches existent today. Five out of the seven had serious issues. And we have seen the majority of churches here in the West go by the way of the social gospel. I remember listening to a message this year John MacArthur shared. That man is awesome for what he's been doing to defy Newsom and his restrictions. The man's in his 80s and he has got some gumption about him. But this is his quote. If I were a prophet, and I'm not, but if I were a prophet in Israel and the evangelical church was Israel, I would declare that the church had gone after Baal. I would declare what the prophets of the Old Testament declared about Israel, that they had been seduced by false gods, because that is exactly what has happened to the evangelical church. It has been seduced by a false god and a false religion. The evidence of that is the complete shattering of the unity of the evangelical church. The church has gone after Baal, gone after the contemporary, sociological, temporal, earthly religion that is concerned only with social issues. The church has been so seduced by this that it has fallen victim to the point where it looks exactly like a political and social organization rather than the kingdom of God confronting the world. The New Testament would say this, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your act of spiritual worship. The Bible actually says it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The evangelical church has been seduced by the world. It has been brought into that seduction. In one translation, you would say the world has pushed the church into its own mold. Colossians 3, Paul says, love not the world, because you have been transcended beyond that. Set your affections on things above and not things on the earth. You belong to a heavenly kingdom. John says essentially the same thing. Love not the world. Everything in the world is passing away. The church has been seduced. It has gone after a false god, a Baal, a false religion, constructed by ungodly, Christless people. And the talk is always about justice. There will be no full justice until Christ returns, folks. Right. However, God has a remnant. He always has a remnant. The church of Smyrna, the persecuted church who keeps the faith even in the midst of intense persecution, and the church of Philadelphia who holds fast in the faith and true to the word of God. Number seven, and it's starting to get interesting here at this point. A one-world government coming by way of the Great Reset. The world feels as if it has become unhinged. You look at all the political unrest worldwide, nation upon nation, Lebanon, France, UK, Iran, China, Hong Kong, that within it, Venezuela, US, Chile, Russia, Turkey, the list goes on and on and on. According to DNI.gov, within countries, tensions are rising because citizens are raising basic questions about what they can expect from their governments in a constantly changing world. Publics are pushing governments to provide peace and prosperity. Peace and safety. Let me rephrase it. Okay? More broadly and reliably at home, when what happens abroad is increasingly shaping those conditions. And it talks about just how, as that happens, it creates more room for terrorism and other things. Matthew 24, 6 through 7 says, wars and rumors of wars. Ezekiel 38 and 39 forming right before our very eyes. Syria not even mentioned in its own country. We see Turkey, Iran, and Russia, three of the major players of the war of Gog and Magog, set up in Syria. You have tensions between India and China. There's India and Pakistan, Turkey and its neighbors, Iran and Israel, Iran and the U.S., China and the U.S., North Korea and the U.S., and the list I could keep going on and on. I looked at a map of tensions and wars and skirmishes and all these things, and like it was like almost more than half the globe was just lit up in red of where there was things going on. And as the world becomes more unhinged, it will pave the way for a dramatic leader with all the solutions, the Antichrist, as noted in Revelation 13. How about the economies? World economies, very unstable, potential collapses. As shutdowns continue, I would question this. At what point does stimulus no longer prove its effectiveness? We just spent $2.3 trillion on another stimulus on top of the $2 plus trillion from the CARES Act. That's a lot of money, folks. I sent this out to the other people. This is a little side note, so don't think me crazy, but do you know what was in the latest stimulus bill? I saw this headline on Fox News. I just snapped it, and I sent it to people in the church that are in the part of the text thread. Do you know this COVID bill had a provision in it that started a 180-day countdown for UFO disclosures? Oh. The Pentagon has 180 days to disclose UFO information. You can look this up. There is it's an odd item, but it includes a committee comment attached to the Annual Intelligence Authorization Act, which was rolled into the 5,593-page bill. By order of the Senate, the bill includes language that directs the Director of National Intelligence to submit a report within 180 days of the date of enactment of the act to the Congressional Intelligence and Armed Services Committees to unidentified aerial phenomena. In plain words, the Pentagon has 180 days to turn over all information it has on the UFOs. They've done a lot of soft releases on this. And then I was sitting there this morning, and this popped up on my phone. And I'll just read you the headline. Harvard professor says alien technology visited Earth in 2017. And he's got a book coming out at the end of this month about it. Now, yes, if millions of people disappear from the earth, there are some who believe that will be the agenda. That will be what's happened. You create a narrative, right? We know how media creates a narrative. I don't know if that's going to be it, but I just find it odd that we just passed a stimulus bill, and it's supposed to be about recovering the economy, and there's this little attachment on it. And then you had a couple years ago, you actually had the Pentagon, there was the colonel in the Air Force that actually affirmed what he saw. He was the one flying, and he released the report, and the Pentagon didn't deny it, what they saw. There's video of that stuff. I don't believe it's aliens. I believe it's demonic is what I believe. But we are in a global economy, folks, and the pandemic or plandemic has helped push things along as faster than expected. Enter the Great Reset. The World Economic Forum, the COVID-19 pandemic presents an opportunity to shape an economic recovery and future direction of global relations, economies, and priorities. According to Prince Charles, the economic recovery must put the world on a path to sustainability, with systems being redesigned to help. Carbon pricing was mentioned as a way to achieve sustainability. He also outlined the innovation, science, and technology need to be reinvigorated so we can achieve significant breakthroughs that help us make sustainable ideas more profitable. According to the World Economic Forum, we should also adapt to the current reality by directing the market to fairer results, ensure investments are aimed at mutual progress, including accelerating ecologically friendly investments, and to start a fourth industrial revolution, creating a digital, economic, and public infrastructure, and it's all merged together. According to Klaus Schwab, they would not change the economic system, but rather improve it to what he considers to be responsible capitalism. A few weeks ago, I shared with you what that means. Joe Biden gave a speech on it, of going from shareholder capitalism to stakeholder capitalism, which is basically a cover-up of socialism, is what it is. And it's coming to you in a neighborhood near you this June. Just in time, right? For the 180 days intelligence report. Oh, on the UFOs. I know people are going to think I'm crazy right now and they're listening to this. This is all in the next step or stage in the formation of a one-world economic system and global government. Some of the very solutions have been played out or role-played in Event 201, a pandemic simulation of a coronavirus pandemic that would hit the world 2 months before it actually happened. This was hosted by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, remember the guy who wants to shoot particles up into the sun, and the World Economic Forum. And the phrase Build Back Better has been coined from Biden to Trudeau to Boris Johnson to Klaus Schwab and Pope Francis, among many others. A one-world economy is coming. It's stated in Revelation 13, right? He causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The technology was not here, folks, 20 years ago to enforce such a law. We have AI now and that could create an image that would be able to speak and move. And the Antichrist in his world system would not be able to enforce such a mark, but it is here now. China's testing it in itself right now. On top of that, folks, the McKinsey study, listen to this, it's talking about the economics. The crisis compressed a half a decade's worth of change into less than 1 year. In areas that are typically slow to evolve, which is customer behavior, economic models, and payment operating models, the event of trends of 2020 have undeniably created a changed global context for payments. They still dub China as an emerging country, but China went from, in 2010, 99% of transactions being used by cash usage, to 41% in 2020. United States went from 51 to 28. United Kingdom, 55 to 23. The Netherlands, 52 to 14. And Sweden, 56 to 9. Where am I going with that? They're going to abolish cash, exactly. Enter the digital dollar. On NASDAQ.com by Justice Clark Little, on August 13th, a top official confirmed that the U.S. Federal Reserve is preparing for digital currency. You need to listen, folks, right now. You got to listen to this. Lael Brainard, a member of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors since 2014, told an audience last week that the Federal Reserve was experimenting with a hypothetical digital dollar for research purposes, according to Bloomberg. Brainard also said the Federal Reserve was partnered with research teams from the Boston Federal Reserve and MIT in a multi-year effort to build and test hypothetical digital currency oriented to central bank uses. The challenges for a digital dollar include security and privacy concerns for technology that would reach hundreds of millions of people and could easily see billions of transactions per day. This Fed-enabled digital dollar will also be designed with an ability to bypass the banking system. Imagine a network of consumer digital wallets, perhaps associated with a government ID, like a Social Security number, with an ability to receive digital dollar deposits directly from the central bank, or conversely, to have digital dollars taken out. Tie that to ID 2020. Bypassing the banks would be game-changing on multiple fronts. In terms of distributing stimulus and emergency funds, the U.S. government and Federal Reserve would have a level of fine-tuned control like never before. Sounds good, right? Payments could be sorted out by income level, employment status, geographical location, or any number of things. Digital dollars would also likely be programmable in and of themselves, allowing for instant tax payments at the point of sale. Tax refunds and rebates could be instant too. And attempts to purchase a restricted item, like, say, a firearm without proper background clearance, could automatically be denied. In many ways, programmable digital money would be a fantasy come true for economists. This is because economists believe economies are driven by human behavior, and human behavior is driven by incentives. And all kinds of incentives could be built into the digital technology. For example, fossil fuel might be embedded with a higher VAT value-added tax surcharge than green energy use. Buying sugary cereal might create a small debit, whereas buying broccoli creates a small credit, and so on. Programmable digital currency will also be a kind of monetary panopticon, spying on everything you do by way of a transaction data. The use of digital wallets and accounts linked to a government ID would thus further tighten any government's grip on its citizens. Do you hear that? You package the good stuff, and then you start to see the impact of that, and you correlate that with Scripture, folks. All this explains why digital currency is absolutely coming, not just for the United States, but for all industrialized countries. The hypothetical power, visibility, and control inherent in such a tool will prove impossible to resist. This is why central banks everywhere are either running in-depth experiments, launching full-fledged digital currency initiatives, or either preparing to fine-tune and scale a prototype digital currency as rapid as possible. China is well ahead of the game in this regard. It's coming, folks. It's coming. All right, I'm finishing up here. I got two more points real quickly. Scoffers, yet the gospel will be preached to the whole world. 2 Peter 3:3-7, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Though we know technology will be used to enforce a new world order, there are some benefits right now of technology to spread the gospel, particularly in like places like Iran, where people are getting exposed to the gospel, and in Muslim-dominated countries, people are coming to Christ. There are people coming to Christ, which is awesome. Matthew 24:14 said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. But the paradigm is quickly changing, folks, with censorship. Think about all the videos being removed on YouTube. We've been shut down numerous times on our live feed on Facebook for what's been said. And I think of the control of the big tech and the media to frame a narrative and to fit a narrative. You see how quickly things get kind of brushed under the rug? China has controlled the church. They have a government-controlled church, and they are rewriting the Bible to promote pro-government. Although there's the real church, which is underground, that they don't have any control over. That's the remnant we're talking about. But I look at what China's doing, and then you say, like, well, that would never happen here. And I would say, really? Like what was your 2020 like, folks? Were there a lot of things that you looked at and said, like, that will never happen here? How many of you were like in February? I know you were, like, that virus and all that stuff, that's not gonna come here. And then the next thing you know, right? Next thing you know, you're shut down. It was to flatten the curve. Right? That was the reason for the shutdown. The curve got flattened, and then suddenly it just continued. And restrictions and takeaways. And now we're back in it again. And now we're heading for a dark winter. It's not to be doom and gloom, but it's like, if you are hearing with spiritual ears, you look at all this stuff and say, wow, this is like how all this is coming together. And that leads me to my next point. The wicked, number 9, have no idea what is going on, but believers understand. They understand. Daniel 12:4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel 12:10, many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Knowledge of the end times has certainly increased. In light of all we've covered, we can see all these things and so much more not covered today, literally converging to one point. Jesus is coming soon. The wicked will have no idea what is happening. When millions disappear who are in Christ, we will see how big tech and the media will quickly look to create a narrative and push a man for solutions. The key is that deception is here, it's now, and it's growing, and it's covering the world today. That means that we can see the shadow of the tribulation spreading itself over the world. And for the believer, it means the trumpet is going to be sounding soon for Jesus, the bridegroom, to take us home. Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is what? Faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That is why you are here. We get together to build one another up as we go out into the world and get beat up, okay? As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's coming. Titus 2:13, flight 777 is coming. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. You can be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to a new creation in Christ, to know that if you breathe your last breath, you will face your Maker and he will look upon you and see Jesus' righteousness. He will see, he will welcome you with open arms. But if you do not know Christ, you are playing with fire. And you will be judged according to your works, which are filthy. They're disgusting. Doesn't matter how good of a person you think you are. For the reality is, you first must A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not, I'm not righteous. No priest, no infallible pope. It's not, it's none, none. Why? For Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. They've missed the mark. And as a result, there's a payment for that. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That is the payment. That's what you pay for sin. And God is a holy, just God, and he will judge sin for what it is. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior, you are repenting. Then you was to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And see, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. For whoever, that's me, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's guaranteed. If you call on the Lord, you will be saved. Amen. Put your faith and trust in him today. I can't tell you what the world will be like, how quickly things will continue to unravel. But I can tell you that if you are walking in the Spirit, you will be more sensitive to things that you hear and realize that the gulf, the separation is becoming very apparent to that which is in the world and that which is not of this world. So be diligent. Be diligent on your faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for this church body. I thank you for those who are listening with spiritual ears, Lord. And that they will be able to hear those things that they heard today and apply them and see those things as they unfold, as we hold fast to our faith, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You're dismissed.